Aren't we happy that Jesus is alive? Because if he wasn't, we would not be here. We would not be gathering. There would be no reason for us to do that. I'll just make a mention. Well, first of all, the boy band that we've had on Friday and Sunday, aren't they wonderful? Let's just give them a hand. I mean, that's going over and beyond the call of duty, you know, like they've given themselves to the time and effort of preparing and being available. And those of you who weren't here on Friday, you know that we talked about the cross. And I just wanted to mention this one, which was made by my husband. It's an Aboriginal shield in that sort of, I mean, he made it. We do have a couple of artifacts that were made out in the desert and stuff like that. But he did this to show people in the desert about the cross and resurrection. And, of course, put the cross here and did this burning with the tool of to burn into the wood. And then the verse of Scripture that talks about the wheat that goes into the ground, the kernels that go into the ground, and they die so that they can rise again and come up. So you know that all seeds go into the ground and die. In a sense, it opens up and the seed comes out. We wouldn't have any plants if we didn't have that process. And so Jesus, of course, taught his disciples and he teaches us that in order to live in the kingdom of God, we have to die like Jesus. We have to walk in his steps. So we have to die to ourselves and live for Jesus. But today we're going to talk about what does this resurrection mean? What's it all about? And so before we begin, well, let's see. Okay, first thing, let's look at our scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. There's so many scriptures we could use about the resurrection, but I want us to look at these and what's the implication that Paul talks about. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no so he said, let's follow this logic here. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching, me standing here, you sharing the gospel, is in vain. And your faith is in vain. So might as well all hang it up. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, when whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. He says that again. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. We're going to talk about that today and see what this means to us. Two days ago, we had communion and we commemorated Jesus on the cross and what that meant. That was an historical fact. And we talk about Jesus dying on the cross. We have crosses everywhere. And on Friday, we had a few more crosses and we talked about that. We've read all of that story many, many times. We've heard stories of Jesus' teaching. Those of you who've been to Sunday school and grew up in Sunday school and in youth group and here on Sundays, we read about his birth. We talk about the miracles of incarnation. We read about his teachings and his miracles and we say, wow, that's really good teaching. This is how we're supposed to treat those who are marginalized and those who are poor and those who are in sickness and help people to love one another and all those sort of things. That's pretty cool. And then we read about the pure life that he lived. Not only that he taught about this, but he actually lived it, which no other human being had ever done before or since. And then the way he was led to his death, and we talked on Friday about his willingness to go to the cross as the final and consummate sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Not just itty-bitty thing. The whole burden of the whole world. And you think there are evil things happening around the world right now? Well, just multiply that about, you know, I don't know, however long you think the world has been and people have been around. You know, 8,000 to 40 million times, whatever you want to say. And that's what he took upon himself. But if it stops there, if there's nothing else, then why am I here? Why are we here today? We have nothing to preach. We have nothing to tell. We have no story. We have no eternal life if Jesus is not alive right now. It's because of the resurrection that we sit here today, that we celebrate today, and that we have anything worth shouting from the rooftops. So as we get stuck into this, let's pray. Father, this is your word. This is your world. This is your kingdom. Father, I just pray that you would help me in the words that I speak. I pray that by your spirit you'd open all of our hearts, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us about what you have done and what you're doing now. Lord, we need to hear this word from you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at the context of Paul, what he's writing here. The context was that there were some in the church. Because all these letters are written to the church. You know, sometimes you read these letters and say, well, I'm so glad that's not to me. Yeah, excuse me. He was writing all the time to the Christians. And sometimes the words are pretty tough. So there were some within the church that were doubting and disputing the idea of resurrection from the dead. Did you know that that happens today in the church? Right this morning, around the world, there can be preachers getting up and saying, well, the resurrection is sort of in our mind. Some have said, well, the early disciples, they had so much faith in this Lord that they invented resurrection. See? Their faith made it happen. And it's a myth. That's preached in the churches. But Paul confronts this idea. And he says, if there is no resurrection, then Jesus hasn't even been resurrected. And if Jesus hasn't been resurrected, then our lives, our preaching, our story, our meeting today is in vain. Even our faith is in vain. So our theme this year, living by faith in the Son of God. Well, we might as well hang it up. We might, you know, forget that one. We could have meetings on just how to be a good person. And sometimes that's what Christians think they're doing, is working their way toward being a good person. So we can say, you and I, we like to follow Jesus' teachings. They're pretty good. But that would be about as far as it would go. There would be no purpose in life. There would be nothing after our death. It would end when we die. And I would still be grappling with my sin. Because there would be no way of overcoming them. Just like in the Old Testament when people couldn't overcome their sin. And even in Jeremiah and other places it says one day will come when Jesus, God, will write his covenant, his laws on our heart. That means they will pump through our blood system, our spiritual blood system, and come out. Because that's what he's doing inside of us. See? This is big. So Paul says, if we only have hope for this life, and some of us act like that's it. We go to Jesus to help us to buy a house. We go to Jesus to find a wife or to find a husband. We go to Jesus to get a job. We go to Jesus to be a nicer person or to quit swearing or to love our wife or our husband more. Look, I want to tell you, if that's all there is, Paul says we are most to be pitied. So Jesus says, why are you following me? Why are you doing this? Is it because you're racking up the benefits? Because now you have somebody you can go to and say, oh, can you help me do this, God? Can you help me do that? And you're kind of a good person. I read your teachings. I read all of this sort of stuff. And I'd kind of like to be that way. So, you know, make me patient and make me kind and all that sort of stuff. And so we go to him for all these things. Is that what it's all about? Well, Paul says, if that's it, we might as well stop right here. So what's the crucial idea? What do we want to get from today? We want to get the fact, and we see this all the time. We saw it on the screen at that wonderful opening video, that Jesus is alive. Okay, so this makes a difference, and we're going to talk about how does that make a difference to you every day. And because of that, because he's the first to be resurrected into eternal life, and to be raised to be with God, then we, as his followers, will follow suit. We will follow him in resurrection. The resurrection is the key to all our belief, our future, our purpose, everything. Everything. One of the reasons that when you want to go and buy a cross to put around your neck, many of them do not have a little figure of Jesus on the cross. Because the idea is he's not here anymore. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive. As Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, you and I were all born of the image of Adam, the man of dust. And we also shall bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus. Is the man of heaven with a spiritual and a physical body because of his resurrection. The resurrection weaves its way through the whole belief that we've an unfolding of the story of redemption. There is no maybe in all of this. It either happened or it didn't happen. Paul tells us if we're on a false path, we're going nowhere. Everything that God does for you and through you are byproducts of our connection with Jesus, who is alive and is alive in us. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he says, I count everything, or as he counted everything in his life as loss, all that he could achieve on his own. Now, I think you've heard me say this, and I'll probably say this till the day I die. You and I are a particularly, energetic group of people that like to do things on our own. We like to accomplish. We pat ourselves on the back, or we wait for somebody else to pat us on the back. But, you know, you and I love it when we can say, I did this. I did this. See this thing over here? I built. I made. I did that. Even if maybe you don't say it out loud, you kind of say it inside. I did that. You know, I achieved this. But do you know that's wrong as a Christian? Through the resurrection, it's Jesus that does everything through us. If you and I are truly born again, the Bible says that we are in Christ and he is in us, right? We abide in Christ. John 14, 15, 16. Beautiful verses. We live in him and he lives in us. But you know what? A lot of times we don't act like it. We act like Jesus is out there and I'm trying to strive to do what he wants. You know, Jesus says this in the Bible. Oh, I'm going to do this. See, we don't get on our knees and say, Jesus, you're living in me. You can do this. You can work in me a patience toward my 2-year-old or my 5-year-old or my 18-year-old or my 30-year-old. Jesus, you can work in me about deepening my life in you. I can't I'm not going to do that. Because God doesn't want us to say, look at me, look at me. I did this. Do you and I really, really believe that Jesus lives within you? That when you get in your car and start to drive, hi, Jesus, you're there. When you go to the shower, when you do your gardening, when you pack up your car to go on a trip, when you take a test, when you do all these different things, Jesus is there. He's there. So what does this mean for us? You know, I want to put a little small explanation of what happens when we choose to walk away from God or not to acknowledge this. A little story was that Jane Fonda, you know who Jane Fonda is, maybe most of you hopefully know Jane Fonda, was speaking to the Archbishop in Canterbury. And the Archbishop was saying, Jesus is the Lord. In context of some other things. And Jane Fonda said, well, he might be your Lord, but he's not my Lord. And the Archbishop said, well, either he is or he isn't. It's not, Jesus isn't relative. Either he's Lord or he's not Lord. So even everyone, if you're sitting there and you have not given your life to the Lord to say, he's my Lord, or everybody out there that has not said that, guess what? He's still Lord. Just because you don't acknowledge him, one day you will, my friends. One day everyone will. I would not want to be one that when Jesus returns and it's too late for me to say, uh-oh. I didn't really believe this, but it's true. We don't want to be that. Jesus is not a privatized Lord. He is Lord of all. He is the Creator. He is the King of Kings. Whether a billion people believe it or one, He is. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's our future. God puts himself out there for us. In Romans 1, it says, when people chose their own way and made their own gods. Now look, this is for you and me. If I make my own gods, if I follow after my own gods, if everybody we talk to out there who does not acknowledge Jesus makes their own gods, do you know what he does? You know what God does? And we keep seeing this over and over in Scripture. He says, okay, have it your way. A lot of times we think, well, God comes in and takes a sledgehammer. Well, you know what? He really doesn't. Romans 1 says, I let them go on their way. In fact, he's a very permissive father. You don't want to follow me? Okay, go. Have your own way. Because you know what? He knows if you keep following it, that end leads to death. That way leads nowhere. One of the definitions of hell is separation from God for eternity. So if you live in a place that's separated from God, where mankind is doing their own thing, just whatever I want to do, I can do it, I can kill, I can murder, I can swear, I can blah, 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 blah. I'm doing my own thing. If that's the way we want to live, that's what hell will be. Because Jesus says, this is truth. This is truth. So when we're separated from God, we're separated spiritually. And the day we die, we're separated physically. Resurrection is about bringing the physical and the spiritual together on those last in that last day when Jesus returns as a body and we are raised from the dead for eternity. Again, if you've ever read history, which I always like history. Did you know, have you seen Indiana Jones? I kind of like Indiana Jones. It's probably over. You're probably over that. You're on to something else, Terminator 550 or something like that. But, all these things that, searching for the lost ark or searching for the Holy Grail. Well, you know that California was discovered by a Spanish explorer who came there looking for the Holy Grail? And do you know why? Why were they doing that? Because it was supposed to give eternal life. Mankind, it's somewhere down in here, because we're created in the image of God, we have this desire to live eternally. Why do women spend $300 or $400 or $1,000 on some little jar of face cream that says, you will look young forever? You know? You better start using it when you're 2. You know, because by the time you're 50, it's already gone. You know, like it's too much. But this is what we want. You know, all of us here grew up, and boy, when you were 5, you wanted to be 10. When you were 10, you wanted to be 16. When you were 16, 21, I'm moving out. 21, I'm going to be 30 because I'm going to have a house and a car and all this kind of stuff. And then around 40, I think I want to go back a little bit. You know, don't want 40th birthday. You know, oh, I'm getting old. You know, and so then the more you grow that way, you want to go backwards. And so we use creams and we use, you know, things like that. And I remember, you know, we used to talk about men in the middle age crisis that open their shirt and have the gold chain and drive a convertible. You know, that was the image in the United States for the midlife crisis for men. You know, maybe they don't do it, but they do other things like that, you know. So why is this? It's within our DNA that we're seeking resurrection. We're seeking eternal life. So how should this affect our lives right now? If you and I are born again, we should be practicing resurrection. We're not going to go along life and then when the moment I die, I'm going to be with Jesus and he's going to all make me perfect and a pew, like that. He wants me to practice it now. He wants me to put those things into place now. When I said, yes, Jesus, I want you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I want to follow you. I entered into eternal life. There is a supernatural interaction that takes place within our heart when we become really born again. Not just mouthing the words, not just following some list of do's and don'ts. When there's a truly change within our heart. Supernatural change. That's the true born again. When that happens, Jesus is living in me. And so I have his power. The Bible in Ephesians 1 says, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in me. Do you and I really know that? Or are we living anemic Christian lives? See? When we have a lively sense, an energetic sense of the resurrection in our own lives, which took place, by the way, without any help from us or comment from us, keeps us from attempting to take charge of our own life. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message and many other books, says that we live our lives in the practice of what we do not originate and cannot anticipate. We live our lives in the practice of resurrection where we don't have any control, where we have given it to God. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present. If I'm practicing resurrection, I am keeping company with Jesus. He's here. We're keeping company together. And guess what? He knows where we are going better than you and I do. We don't know, but he does. Which is always from glory to glory. Do you know some of the biggest questions and issues that we all talk about? Not just this church and not just these Christians, but everywhere, is, well, how do I know what's going to happen? Well, if I make this decision, where is this going to end? I have to be sure that this is going to happen so that when I step out, I'm really sure about this. We can never say that, guys. We live with Jesus. We've given our life to him. He's the one in charge. So I say, Jesus, tell me what next step to take, because I actually know and trust that the big picture is in your hands. The big picture of my life, for this year, for next year, for the next 5 years, the next 10 years, is all in his hands. So practicing resurrection is actually doing that, giving our life into his hands. See, being anxious is saying to God, I don't trust you enough. I don't trust that you're going to do the right thing. See, being worried and anxious is really, as a Christian, saying, I don't trust God to do the right thing in my life. If we really trust him, it would help then to dissipate the worry and anxiety that we sometimes feel. Now, I'm not saying we're human. We're going to have some of that little bit of tension and all that kind of stuff. That's okay. But when it takes over our life, when it takes us from God, when we step away, when we sever relationships, when we do all those things, it's not good. And we are saying to God, you're not doing the right thing in my life, God, so I'm walking away. You're not doing what I want. Paul, the greatest theologian, missionary, and disciple of Jesus, is teaching us the importance of the resurrection. It's the central key to our faith. He firmly believes that the future belongs to God, and that God is working it out as it pleases him in our lives and within the church, so that believers, you and I, do not have the job of securing our future, but living in such a way as to be acceptable to God, as to be coordinated with God's plan. That's our job. Jesus said at one point, I think it was in John, he said, Your work, he was talking to his disciples, your work is to believe on the one whom God sent. Your work is to believe. And from that belief will come practice and our attitudes and our mental health and our well-being. There is continuity between our life now and the ultimate plan of God. To me, when I meditate on this, I get kind of blown away. That my life today is in continuity to where I'm going and where I've been. What I do here, you know the scriptures that say, what you do for the Lord now is not in vain. It's doing something for the future. There's a connection between now and then. The scriptures are full of words like move on, press forward, do more of this and do more of that, meaning give more of our trust to God. We are already in the kingdom. But the kingdom is not consummated or fulfilled as yet. We are not yet complete. We are not yet finished. But if we continue to press on for God's will, to live according to God's will and God's plan, and be careful not to boast about what we do, then we are walking in resurrection. Therefore, the way you and I view resurrection is the key to how you're going to live your life. It's crucial in how you will handle your life. If I sit back and realize that, you know, let's say I live 10 more years, or I live to my mid-80s. That's a blip in the bucket. Because guess what? I'm going to live for eternity. I may be one day sitting, you know, rocking in a rocking chair, only because I like rocking chairs, not because I'm invalid, right? I like rocking chairs, and I'm going to be sitting and looking at the beautiful sunset and talking to God and saying, wow, I remember way back when I was in Canberra. Yeah. And I'm going to think, why in the world did I get upset about so many things back in Canberra? Why did I have so much doubt about God back in Canberra? Why didn't I trust more in what he was doing in my life back in Canberra? See? Now, it won't be, you know, everybody says, well, there's not going to be any tears or anything. Well, I'm not going to cry. But God gives us a brain. He's not going to wipe our memory. You know, memory stick. You know, new memory stick. We're in continuity. See? Some of the things that I do here are going to follow me into heaven. So when you lost sleep over the job, when you lost sleep over what house to buy or what you were doing in uni, it's going to seem so futile one day. Because what God wanted you to do is to trust in him. If there is no resurrection and life is to be lived to get out of it just what it is for the moment, to have fun and be happy, then there's no reason to follow Jesus or to desire what he wants in our lives. You don't need to waste your time coming to church or coming to a Bible study or anything like that if that's what it is. You and I are in resurrection. We are preparing and walking together toward the kingdom of God in its consummation. It's already here. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand right here. You and I, we're all in it right now. You know, even one day you might say, oh, I'm so glad Diana's gone. You know, oh, I hope you don't say that. But anyway, you're going to see me again. Forever. So this is the thing, is that we're in continuity. This is part of it. So let me ask you, when you're looking at your life, where does resurrection fit in? Where does eternal life fit in? Or are we always just looking for the moment? And we are, a lot of us. We are. Now, I'm not saying that we should immediately jump and see, live like the future, but we need to balance that. We need to say, God, you help me what you want me to do now, what you want me to do today. That's what resurrection is all about. We are to have unshakable confidence that God will finish what he's begun. And it said, the word says, God will finish what he's begun in you and in me. In the world, in the church, and in our personal lives. God will, that's where it's going. It's God that has the purpose of the world. Not the World Bank, not the American president, not the Brexit, not to anything. Nothing like that has any purpose for the future. So Paul ends this chapter by saying that our work in the Lord is not in vain. That's how he ends. He says, so if all this is true, and if the resurrection is the key, then our work in the Lord is not in vain. You and I are building things today that will last forever. I mean, doesn't that grip you? Grab you? I hope it does. So Paul ends this chapter saying that. You know, right now, Jesus is the power of life in the midst of a world that is bent on death. This world is bent on death. Human life is worth nothing around the world. But Jesus is the power of life in the midst of that. He gives new life that shatters all our ways of self-control or control of self. Jesus doesn't want the fact of resurrection to be carried off into the future. He's saying whatever you do now, it will be transformed in that day. It will carry on. It concerns us here and now. So let me end with a little prayer that, or to share from a scripture from David. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 13. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is a kingdom. You are exalted as head above all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength. We thank you. We praise your glorious name. That was David giving a prayer and thanksgiving to God. Can you and I say this? God, you have everything in your hand. Can you say that in your life? God, you have everything in your hand. It may not look like it right now. I'm going through struggles right now. It's difficult right now. But God, you have everything in your hand. And we can only say that because of resurrection. We can only say that because Jesus was raised from the dead. So, issue today for you and me, how are we going to live our lives? How fully will we live our lives as a channel through which God's love and mercy can flow into the lives around us, into our families, into all the things that we do? Jesus is alive. Let's pray. Father, there's so much we could say about resurrection. There's so much written in the scripture. And Lord, this is only just a peek. Father, help us to take in the fact that Jesus is alive right now. And he's living in me. In that scripture in Galatians 2, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. So on Friday, I was crucified with Christ. And now I've been raised spiritually. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So, Father, if I don't acknowledge you, if I don't allow you to be the Lord, to be the strength that I need, then I'm turning my back on the greatest power in the universe. Because you live in me. Father, help us to know this and to practice it. We ask in Jesus' name.